Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know what that clap was for today. And unbeknownst to me until I looked at my calendar was the fact that today, well, not the day exactly, but the week that we went on the air 9 years ago. So it's actually the 9th anniversary of the show in a few different mutations, but it's 9 years on the air on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Welcome, people, to She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio, 9 years and counting. Thank you to the West Coast, everybody on the West Coast, 10 o'clock there. Good morning to you. If you're having a little bit of breakfast, hopefully it's healthy, a little bit of protein, a little bit of carbs, definitely some oranges, pineapple juice, which is my favorite. East Coast people, yeah, you can have a drink. I'm giving you permission. I'm anointing you. You can officially have a drink. It's 1 o'clock here on the East Coast. And you know what? Our UK fan base, it's 6 o'clock there. So do whatever you want, but stay off the road. That's all I'm saying. I'm not watching you. We have enough problems in this country. So do whatever you want to do. And we're just so happy to have everybody aboard. Thank you for joining us. And again, worth repeating, 9 years and counting since we've been on the air. So thank you for always coming back here. Even if you took a little bit of a hiatus from us, you always came back, and it's wonderful to have you. Today, what's interesting about the show today is I pride myself in coming up with like cute little titles for the sizzle reel. Today was the first day I didn't have to do it because our guest came up with it, and it was, I wanted a spring theme, and it was spring out of your sweatpants because spring last year is very different than spring this year, because spring last year, we didn't realize that all of this was going to run the course that it did. I think anytime we were thinking about, you know, COVID and lockdown, it was always 2 weeks. Oh, it's going to be another 2 weeks. Oh, it'll definitely be over by August. It'll definitely be over by September. So that's how we enjoyed last. My guest today came on for the first time, actually, with Tammy Lee Webb. And I remember I was listening to the show in archives. It was A Double Dose of Health. And Sonia Marie Romero came on with Tammy Lee Webb. And it was really a nice time because Tammy Lee, who we love, was doing the fitness end, and Sonia was doing the nutritional end. And again, I was listening to it the other night, and I'm like, my God, we had no idea. We had no idea what was going to be coming. We had no idea it was going to last this long. So everything that we were discussing was more in the short term. And Sonia, you're on with us now, right?
I am. Hi.
Welcome back, my darling. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Boy, you hit it.
Uh-huh.
Quite
uh-huh.
different.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's somebody said, one of the guests on the show actually said, I think we were better off not knowing that it was going to last, because if we knew it was going to be another plague, it was going to be 2 years, it was going to be this, I think we might have handled it differently than a day by day and just we'll get through it. But if we actually saw, you know, it's going to be a year and then probably another few months, I think we would have been overwhelmed and shut down. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think it would have scared everyone to death. Everyone mm-hmm. was already frightened and scared because there was so much unknown, and people are still dealing with the emotional output of that last year, just being secluded. And I know we were, you know, being silly with the name of springing out of our sweatpants, mm-hmm. but we mm-hmm. really did. I mean, we went into some deep, dark places, not mm-hmm. getting dressed, not stepping outside, not, you know, and mentally and physically, that really took a toll on our body. And people, I think, were just trying to get through, you know, month to month and going, oh, mm-hmm. it's going to be one more month, and then I can do that. And then they just kept doing the, you know, it was survival. And so survival for our bodies. And so they needed to be comforted more than anything, because mm-hmm. that was the one thing we didn't have. There was no surety in what was going on. No one had any answers. Everybody felt completely out of control and then completely at odds with all of a sudden our family members, and who do we mm-hmm. believe and who do we not believe. And it played into mm-hmm. so much more than, you know, our health. And it was, I think, more so in our mindset and how we were treating ourselves. We were trying to escape for the whole year, or hide, or numb.
And you know, to your point, I think there is a small majority of the people that, and you and I are in that's the circle. You kind of think in terms of, well, you know, if there's something out there that could possibly impact my body poorly, I'm going to build my body better. I'm going to find a little bit more nutritional fortification. I'm going to make sure I work out. I'm going to make sure that I stand up to this. Now, that's maybe, I want to say, 10 to 20% of the population. The other half is, well, you know what? My days are numbered. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So, you know, live, drink, and be merry. And,
that's right.
And a lot of the people felt that way. And I'm not saying I'm judging them. But I think, you know, it's okay, you know what, why am I denying myself this if I don't know tomorrow is not going to start without me? And I
That's
think
right.
80% of the population felt that way.
I really do too, honestly. And it was easier, right, because we couldn't really connect with even our family members. And it was a way of connecting. It was a
mm-hmm.
way of,
yeah.
of being together. I mean, even though we were apart, but it was a way to mm-hmm. to feel included. You know, I can't tell you how many times me and my family had Zoom Friday night where we make our fun cocktail,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And sit and talk for 3 hours. And so there was a lot of negatives, and I think, too, a lot of positives, too, that came out of it. I think it made us closer to our family or further,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was.
Yes.
It was a healthy connection or
Agree.
Disconnection.
Agree. Mm-hmm.
And it's so important, but I think there was a lot of slowing down our thoughts. How are we going to show up? And whether we were throwing in the towel or we were picking it up and taking control of our life.
I like that,
We made a decision, right?
I agree.
So either way, I think that was a positive. We made a decision. We weren't going through our day just 24-hour periods of a time being numb, because most of us probably had to work from home, even though from the waist up we were, you know, presentable in our computer and we were sitting in our sweatpants and slippers. You know, it was kind of fun and new, and it felt like you were doing something wrong and you were getting away with something. I know, you know, we felt like kids, you know, we were like, oh my God, I'm drinking coffee at my desk in an important meeting and, you know, and a lot of people had more than coffee in their cup.
Oh,
but
yes.
It's like, you know, it's our coping mechanism, but it was kind of a new enlightening way to understand that, you know what? We don't need to all be in our cars at the same time and traffic jams getting to work, going to our office. Like, we can do this and be productive. And most of us, we're more productive.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we're putting more hours in than we would if we had to drive to our work. But I think we got to see the power of what we were capable of doing and doing it in a different way. And, you know, I thought it was funny just when you were saying spring, and I'm like, we need a spring out of those sweatpants. And
I love that.
Springing out of them. Honestly, I even have my clients do this. I'm like, you need to put some jeans on. You need to, like, have a way to measure what's going on in your body. Elastic bands won't do it for us. It gives us a false sense of being comfortable in our body that's not so comfortable. And so I still, every day, even for this radio show, got all dressed up and did my
Me
hair
too.
And put my makeup on. And
too. Absolutely.
You get
Absolutely.
Up and you do it because it brings such a feeling, one, of confidence. Two, I mean, if you're just sitting in baggy clothes all day, you kind of just feel like that. And the beauty of spring, what we all love so much about spring is coming out of this winter fog. Right? And coming out of the warm, comfy clothes and the comfort food. And it's like new life, right? That's what spring reminds
me of. Absolutely. Rebirthing. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's when we start to, I know people in my industry, we get this, you know, false sense that New Year's resolutions is when all of our clients come to us, you know. I will tell you, that's the last time. That's the last time of the year that people come to me is in January. No one wants to see me in January. February, they'll start thinking about it. But springtime, everyone comes because they want to wear short sleeves. They want to put shorts on, that fun, sexy, you know, summer dress. And it is. People want to lose weight. They want new bodies. The whole thing, you know, spring cleaning. You want to clean out your house. You want to clear out your closets. It's like a beginning and a release of our past. You know, and it's a new perspective. It gives us hope. And there's so much beauty out in spring, right, with all of our flowers, everything budding and growing.
Yeah.
I love spring. One of my favorite seasons.
It's my favorite. Absolutely. You know, I always say the cherry blossoms are just, you know, again, they're around for such a short time, but they are it for me. They are, anytime I see it, I don't care what type of mood I'm in, it brings a smile to my face. And again, even if they're around for just 2 weeks, oh my God, it's just a gift from the universe. There's nothing better, and nothing anoints spring with more strength than seeing cherry blossoms, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Right? They're so beautiful. And you're wondering, how can nature make something so colorful and vibrant? And it reminds me, it's so feminine, too. I think there's the feminine aspect of it that's just so kind of light and freeing. I love it. I'm with you.
It's just beautiful. And, you know, again, I always preface what I'm saying. I hate that people want to get healthier because it's more of a visual, because it's more of, I don't want to say an egocentric feature. People should want to be healthy all year, and that's just not the way it goes. But I can't help this spring and this summer is certainly going to be more of an undertaking in revamping a different way of eating, a different way of exercising. Thank God the restrictions are being lifted so more people could go out, more people could exercise. Last year at this time, you and I were on the air and we were talking about it, parks were being closed down. So you couldn't play basketball. You couldn't eat. All you could do is maybe walk your dog. There wasn't a whole lot going on. So this year we're looking at, and we won't get the stats till next year, I'm sure, of a population that, you know, overate, overdrank, and now we're looking to undo everything.
Amen. Yeah, it's so out of control, because everything was kind of the sense of community, and I know for most of us were, everybody was making sourdough bread, right, from scratch because we were home, right? Did you hear about all the sourdough bread making?
I know.
Like, everybody, they had sourdough starter. Even my neighbor was like, do you need some sourdough starter? I have so much, I don't know what to do with it.
Laughing.
But, right, it was like, this is fun. I would normally never get to do this. Who has time to start sourdough and wait a week for the sourdough starter to get going and then make bread?
Oh,
and
wow, it takes that long? Wow. I didn't realize that.
Well,
it can.
It can take 3 to 5 days. It just depends. But it's like, it was so fascinating that, you know, when everybody had sourdough, fresh sourdough bread every night. And if you're going to, you know, have bread, yeah, I guess it's sourdough because of its fermentation process is honestly easiest on your digestion. But I was just going, wow, this is really going to come back to bite us in the butt for sure. So I really think between managing our blood sugar and managing our cortisol hormones, those stressor hormones, those fight or flight hormones, but we're going to see some crazy numbers, high cholesterol, high, you know, blood levels and high, you know, just our heart rates are just being expanded, our hearts being expanded.
Yeah.
As we get older, it's super crazy. And I know I keep referring to this and we have lots of listeners of all ages, but after 40, there's so much that happens to our body. There's so much that gets concentrated within our system because of the sugar levels, our glucose levels that tend to bring our energy down and our metabolism. Right? It's more and more concentrated as we get older from carbohydrates, from refined foods. And I don't think most of us realize that when that happens, it puts strain on our heart. And our heart actually becomes inflamed. It becomes larger. It has to pump harder. It really stresses out the body. And it's from this excessive blood sugar as we age. And it's really, you know, I find it fascinating that it's called glycation. It's an advanced glycation end is what it is performing and the molecules that are forming in our body, which spells out age, A-G-E.
Yeah.
And what this glucose level does to us is it digests and attaches to the proteins in our collagen, our elasticity, our elastin in our body that keeps our joints and ligaments pliable. It affects it and causes inflammation in our major organs, in our hearts and our lungs. And this is where we start to see fat accumulating in our body. And I want to ask you, Do you know where the largest mass of fat in our body is?
I'm going to take a stab and say the abdomen, but I'm probably wrong.
Our largest amount of fat in our entire body, mass-wise, is our brain.
Oh,
our brain. Our brain is 60% fat. And if we understand that the things that we take in, just as if you had butter or if you had olive oil and you put garlic in it, it would infuse instantly. Our fat contents in our body absorb toxicity and inflammation, which is why when we're off track and we're not eating correctly, our gut brain situation, we have more brain fog. We're stumbling around in the morning to remember where we put our phone, our keys, our coffee. We can't remember anything. We get, our brain gets delayed. And I have a lot of clients that even ask me, they're like, Sonia, is it possible that I have adult ADD? I get this a lot. And it's really important for us to understand that hormones decline. Our hormone levels decline and they shrink in volume. And yes, even our brain starts to lose weight because it's a fatty mass. And, even if we're not taking care of ourselves, our brain declines at a 5% rate after the age of 40. And 40, if we're not feeding that's the one thing that I find it's so important for us to understand that misinformation about fat and why we need fat and what sugar does, right? And the complex carbohydrates, what that kind of stuff does. And you've known me for long enough. You know I don't calorie count. I'm not about a diet as in the vision of everybody dieting, how, the keto, the paleo, the all of this. I look at food as one ingredient foods that feed our body in a super, super, in a cellular way that energize our body. And it's absolutely specific to the person. What do you need? And we really have to look into all the factors. Like, what are you doing? And what I ask my clients, what is your morning routine? What does that look like? Are you sleeping? Do you have a nighttime routine? Because that's actually where it starts. It starts the night before. And it's super important for us to realize the importance of sleep, because that gears the hormones to release or to hang on.
And to your point about brain fog and everything, and again, sleep deprivation and all of that, it's got to be so hard for you to be able to decipher what's depression, quote, unquote, and what's just, malnutrition. And that's the thing, because, there's so much, and I hear it too, about brain fog, about this, and where do you see, okay, that's the definitive line, it's not this, it's that, because everything at this point could fall under in the category of depression, which is crazy, which has to make your job almost impossible.
But at the same time, and it makes it impossible if people aren't open to understanding the true reason. It is a chemical imbalance, but the true tips and tactics that you can use to kind of check off the list, if you do these five things and support your body in this way, I promise you, you will decline, you will reduce anxiety and depression, because it is a chemical reaction. But what we do not understand about anxiety and depression, most of it is, it starts in the gut lining of your stomach. If your body is not producing serotonin and dopamine, where everyone envisions it being in our head or a brain, and this is where anxiety builds up and insomnia happens, right? No one is sleeping correctly. Mm-hmm. Serotonin, dopamine, and melatonin, over 86% of it is built in the gut lining of your stomach. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't even begun to think about what you're putting in your body that could cause you to have, we call it motivation. But I mean, most people call it motivation. And I tell them, mm-hmm. you're not going to get to where you want to be from here. You can't. Mm. And I call it the law of the mirror.
Mm.
If you come,
I like that.
You're coming to me and you're feeling like you're going to get to where you want to be with reducing anxiety or depression or settling your gut or digestion or losing weight, and you're going to use the same tactics that you came to me with to keep going and try to make something work, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You can't get there from where you started. And when I say that, it's being open and listening to your body, actually doing less, crowding foods out instead of restricting you. As soon as anybody is restricted from calories and taking away all the things that they love and all of their vices, what's going to happen?
I know.
That's going to be a really short-term plan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what the other challenge is? Go ahead. You finish and I'm going to make my point. Finish what you're saying.
If you're understanding that you really need to find the root cause of what is ailing you, and yes, everyone has had stressors in the last year and a half, managing it the best you can to support your system and sleep. And I'll give you some tips like towards the end. We can talk about the tips
of course, what to do.
Yeah. But understanding, I'll give like the cortisol hormone, those stressor hormones, how to release that and how your body works and eating food that way. Mm-hmm. It's not about not having rice or not having pasta or not having butter.
Yeah.
Doing things with an intention and having a plan. That's where it falls.
And you know something? I'm in your camp, and I'm going to say, I love marketing, and I watch marketing trends. And since all of this happened, I have been watching the fast food industry moving forward with different types of meals that all cost $4 for a hamburger, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're in an economic malaise. We certainly are. So how do we challenge these people that are being told, okay, now, again, I don't have a family of four to feed. I have an income. I'm not, on unemployment. I'm not part of the underserved. How do I rail against, you're telling me I could feed a family of four and fill their bellies on $20 with everything horrible for them, everything, sugar, carbs, fats. How do I do that when that's the only amount of money I have, and going into a health food store or one of these big box places that I'm not going to mention names that are just so overpriced, and I'm trying to feed my family, but you know what? I'm looking back and forth. It's like, hey, it's $15 for celery and it's $15 for three meals. What do I do?
Right. Right. Awesome. I love that question. So this is exception of eating healthy. And I think that it's two questions, right? One, yes, it is so much cheaper. You can feed a family of four on $8, $12 bucks, right?
Yeah.
Going to these fast food places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realistically, right? About 12, 15, 17 bucks. You can do that.
Easily.
So
yep.
going through a drive-thru. Okay. There's that mentality. But I think that mentality shifts to lack of hope or want to or it being more of a convenience than anything. And I will tell you because, and I'm not a mean person to my clients, but I do call them out and I'm like, we have, for years my clients have been saying, I have no time to cook. And that is no longer true anymore, is it?
Mm-hmm. No.
We're
all absolutely
home.
Not.
We're all home.
Yeah.
So you do have time to cook, first of all. And, you know, and it's where do you want to spend your time? And how do you want to support your kids? And what do you want to teach them? I mean, yes, and I get it. And I too, sometimes I want to throw the towel in and like, I just don't have time to cook.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to just not deal and not take responsibility for our own health and make excuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
And let's say $15 to feed our family. And that's not even realistic, but let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
If we went to the store and it's not about, people are like, organic is too expensive. And if you actually calculate what it costs to buy some lettuce, even some washed lettuce in a plastic container that you don't even have to wash to save you some time. And you got a pack of tortillas and you grabbed some lean ground beef. Okay. So let's even say grass-fed beef, a pound of beef for a family of four to ground up, make some little tortillas with some lettuce and tortilla and beef. That would be eight, nine, 10, 11. That would probably fall about $13.
And how many servings of that?
That would be four. Well, you would actually have more servings than four, right? You have a pack of eight tortillas, right?
Absolutely.
You have enough lettuce, so you could have two servings.
Yeah.
My point about that is, what are the ingredients you're putting in? And people think that organic is so much more expensive. When you actually go, and I do grocery store tours all the time, and you actually price things out, it's about 23 cents a pound more than the crap that is that has no nutritional value, that has been GMO'd, and that means genetically modified in the laboratory. Its seed was, so that when it grows, it's perfect and the bugs don't eat it and there's no bumps or bruises on it. I don't know about you, but if the bugs won't eat it, I don't want to eat it either.
I won't eat it. Absolutely.
So it's not food. It's not helping you. It's actually causing us to have more anxiety, more depression, because there's no value to that food. And most of the time, I will tell you, I want it more than my client. Let your body fight for you. I let it fight for you. I do little tactics with my clients that people don't understand how much power you have. Stop giving your power away. Take it back.
Let your body fight for you. I love that. I just wrote it down. I love that.
It's really important that we understand, and if all my clients do this, they're like, 5 days, could this be possible that I'm feeling no more pain? Is it possible that I don't have like restless leg syndrome going on? Is that possible? Yes. Your body can do it. It can do it.
Yeah.
It wants to do it. It wants to heal. It wants to take control over your immune system. You know?
Yeah.
And we need that. But if we can't get there from here, how do we do that?
You know?
How how do we do that? We have to first understand what we do have control over. And little tips and tricks to just kind of manipulate our hormones so that we feel stronger. And we can do that with the things that we eat every day if we are balancing our food in a way that we don't have to live off of salads. And we don't have to take carbohydrates out. And we don't have to eat a ton of protein. That's all misinformation. You don't need 140 grams of protein a day. Your liver can't handle it. It's not going to get you there over 40. Yeah. It's not too, maybe young bodies. Yeah, that'll work. But not over 40, not anymore.
And you know what's interesting, and I don't know if you were raised in a household that was, I mean, my mother always exercised. I exercised with my mother to Jack LaLanne, and she was, you know, this was the 60s. I didn't know of McDonald's. We didn't have anything that wasn't clean food in my house. We just didn't. So my brother and I ate a certain way. And now when I go down the aisles when I'm shopping, and I look at, there's Reese's cereal. And I'm just thinking to myself, are you freaking kidding me? And that's the least of it. And I'm just like looking at all the, and I understand the marketing and having to transition and reinvent. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And cereal back when I was growing up was maybe 89 cents. Now it's about $6. But Reese's peanut butter cup cereal.
Amen.
And people are buying
it. And they get
that
tick.
People are buying it.
Not only buying it, they're feeding it to their kids, sending
That's
them to
what
school.
I'm saying. Crazy.
And then they're wondering why their kids can't sit in their desk through the day and are diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. It makes me insane. And talking, about marketing. They can put anything they want on the front of a label. Anything they want. My favorite is like Cheerios and Kellogg's. I go through the store and I laugh. People must think I'm insane. I'm literally laughing until I'm crying, walking down the aisles, just reading the front of the label. Because they put things like heart healthy, daily allowance of calcium. How are you getting a daily allowance of calcium that is not since that's not a chemical in a dead food? It's like logic. It's like, but this is the problem. We don't have time to do the research. We want to take it for what the advertisement is saying and going, oh, okay, so I can add this into my diet and get enough fiber. You can't. You can't get there from there. You can't. It's our logical mind says Reese's peanut butter cup cereal, yum. And I used to, because work on set, my youngest son is an actor, and so I would go and do talks for Disney and Warner Brother on the sets with these young actors and actresses, and I mean, you know, their cart of food that's allowed for them. It's a bunch of crap. It's
crap.
Candy and sodas and all the
bagels.
Like, no.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, donuts. So I talked to the parent, and this is what was so crazy. First, I had a talk with the kids, and you know what the kids said? The kids asked me to have a talk with their parents. Because you know the thing they told me more than on one occasion, can you please tell that to my mom, because I don't want that cereal. I don't want Tuesday night Taco Bell and Thursday night Panda Inn. I really wish my mom used to cook like she used to cook.
Oh, wow.
And this was so enlightening that I started revamping the cart.
on set for them for a while to give them healthy options. And this is this is what was happening. I did a demonstration then for the parents where I had cereal. I had Raisin Bran and I had Frosted, I think it was Fruit Loops. And I asked them, which one of these cereals would you feed your kids? And of course, they all said Raisin Bran, right? Even growing up, speaking of, you know, eating healthy.
Sure.
We only got total cereal or we got Raisin Bran, but we were eating rice and gravy every night from Louisiana and steak because it was cattle. The butcher would butcher in our backyard and we had a whole freezer full of it, right?
Yeah.
And chickens. Yeah. And we had our eggs from our backyard. We ate much different. And Jack LaLanne was my mom's favorite for years. That was all the exercise we did. But those, we don't cook anymore. And then even things like chicken breasts and chicken with the skin on, we don't eat that way anymore. That's where all our collagen and our inflammation fighting for our joints and ligaments came from. Yeah, suits with the bones in. We've taken all the bone and the skin out, and we don't cook with it anymore. And therefore, we have more arthritis, dementia, and Alzheimer's than we've ever had ever.
Yeah.
So to get back to my little story and doing the little cereal thing, you know, all the parents said, let's, you know, I would choose the Raisin Bran, but my kids like this and this and this. And they tell themselves that their kids want that. And really all they have to do is say, no, let's have some eggs and some toast. Let's have some oatmeal. Let's have some fruit. I took a poll and more kids would love to have a smoothie that their parents threw together in the morning than a bowl of cereal. And when I asked them, I said, when you look on the label, if you, the front of the labels, they can write anything they want. Where they have to tell the truth is on the back of the label in the ingredients. What do your ingredients say? And if you put the two together, Fruit Loops is actually healthier. It's healthier because it has less sugar than Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran has broken down. What they do and how they start to manipulate is they break down how they put the sugar so that sugar is not the number one ingredient, and they have to list it to the most ingredients to the least in the ingredient list. And so if you have high fructose corn syrup or any form of sugar in the first 3 to 5 ingredients, most of that product is sugar. And when you look at Raisin Bran, there's 9 forms of sugar in it, making sugar the number one ingredient. So when I did this experience, I actually had a mom stand up and yell at me. And she goes, then what do you expect me to feed my kids? And got so defensive. And I told them, I said, you know, if you're going to feed them cereal, you might as well give them a bowl of chocolate chip cookies. I don't know about you. I'd rather the chocolate chip cookies than a bowl of cereal. Because
what was her response? What was her response to that?
Yeah, she lost it. And I said, food, one ingredient, food. One ingredient, food. And I understand a timeline and rushing and kids. I have 2 kids of my own and them sleeping in and getting started late and being grouchy. And, you know, I get it.
Of course.
A little preparing the night before can go a long way. And you know, and just being a little, slowing things down, being more prepared, giving ourselves a little more time can actually ease up that stress of feeling like I don't have time to do it. It's all in planning and how you want to show up and what you want to put in your body and what you want for your kids. Is it longevity? Yeah. Is it convenience? And you know my snarky little saying, you are what you eat, so don't be quick, fast, or convenient. Right?
And you know what's interesting? I remember, and again, I'm a little bit older than you, there was this whole granola craze of the 70s. and mm-hmm. I think it was Nature Valley granola, and mm-hmm. all these cereals came out. And I remember my brother and I begging my mother, "Can we have it? Can we have it?" And she said, "You could have it as a treat. It's high in fat and high in sugar." So we would have it on our treat day. We would have it on a Sunday. We could only have sweets one day a week. So we would have it on the day that we had sweets. But I remember like, well, everybody else is having it. She said, "It's high in fat and high in sugar. That's a treat." And we never yeah. had it. We didn't have a lot of breakfast cereals. But if we did, it was cornflakes or something that was, but we didn't. She would make oatmeal, eggs. That was it. That's what we had.
An egg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oatmeal. You know, that was our breakfast. And if it was during the week while we were at school, right, weekends mm-hmm. food was different. We might have pancakes mm-hmm. or eggs and bacon and grits and, you know, toast. Mm-hmm. But during the week, it was oatmeal because it was quick, or it was grits. Mm-hmm. It was like instant grits,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
During the week, if it was something quick or fast. But we ate the rest of our food with food. Yeah, it mm-hmm. wasn't takeout. We yeah. had one day a year that my mother, do you know what Pochino is? It's kind of like Bunko
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
okay.
One day a year.
My mom was in a Pochino club. And so once a year when she would host it, it was her turn to host it at our house.
Aww.
That was Aww. The one day a year we just cherish, because my dad would Aww. Take us to Alyssa's Pizza, and we would Oof. Go to a one night a year that we would eat out in a restaurant and go get
wow.
pizza. That
wow.
was it. That was our eating out.
Yeah.
That was our, you know, takeout or our whatever once a year. And we didn't think anything different of it.
No. That's all you knew. Yeah.
That's all we knew.
Wow.
It was like, remember wow. last year when we had that really yummy oh. pizza? I mean, that's the conversation we were having, right? It wasn't,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You remember when Pizza Hut delivered our food yesterday? You know, it wasn't like
well,
that.
Well, that's the whole thing. I remember I grew up with, again, it was a very different time in the 60s. I mean, it was a one-income household. But I remember getting annoyed at people stopping in the middle of the aisle, and it was usually the woman who was reading the ingredients. But that,
yeah.
and that's what I always say. When did we stop caring about, especially,
yeah.
forget about us, what we're putting into our kids? When did we stop caring about looking, and even our animals, reading the labels on
yeah.
dry cat food, dry dog food? And
yeah.
when did we stop? When did life
yeah.
become so harried that we can't do that?
Convenience. More convenience.
Yeah.
The more convenience, then we snowball into convenience. And,
mm-hmm.
and making things simpler, where we don't do so much for ourselves
mm-hmm.
anymore. There's just too many inventions that are making things easier that
yeah.
lend to that. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be tough. It doesn't have to be hard. It just has to be, you know, you just have to be aware of,
mm-hmm.
honestly, if it has ingredients, if it has more than five ingredients, don't eat it. It's not a food anymore. It's now a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, you know, from nature, don't eat it. And we make that conversation of cooking dinner, it's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much to do. My kids like this. My husband likes this. And I want to get
mm-hmm.
healthy. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one dinner.
I
and I
yeah.
trust me, I have the pickiest of picky eaters on the planet. I think you know this about my son, right? We laugh about it. You know,
yeah.
he's both
mm-hmm.
deaf and blind. And so
yeah.
his sense of taste and smell takes over like nobody's business. So nobody
yeah.
can tell me I have a picky eater. I know picky
mm-hmm.
eater.
Sure.
If you say
sure.
the word,
yeah,
he'll
you
gag
do.
Because
mm-hmm.
he gets
yeah.
triggered. So it's about introducing. It's about hiding things in food. It's about
mm-hmm.
texture. It's about color, because that's what they recognize. They recognize
right.
color. They recognize
texture. And if you can do it where they're not over you watching it and you make it taste good, they'll be open to it. I do these fun cooking classes for little kids all the time, and I play this game. Guess what's in it?
They love,
I'll make homemade yogurt, and they'll eat it and go, oh, my God, this is the best strawberry yogurt. Can you give my mom the recipe? And I'm like, yes. So let's guess what's in it. And there's carrots in it. There's, like, kombucha in it. And they're like, no, I don't eat carrots. And I'm like, but you just, I mean, lick the bowl. It's really, you know, I made chocolate brownies out of avocados and sweet potatoes.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I've had your recipe, so I know.
Ooh.
If I told them that to begin with, they would have eaten it? No. Don't tell them before they eat it.
You told them after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. And they ate it and they enjoyed it. It's a false sense of what, and they want to be like their friends. You know, I want what my friends are eating.
Yeah.
What if your friends never knew that this existed and you can have some chocolate caramel brownies that taste amazing that your mom made, and it's not some packaged brownie, and you loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know until you tried it, and you have to try it to give yourself a chance.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And, you know, I have to say I was raised by a great cook, so we never had to, you know, everything tasted wonderful. But I remember my husband, you know, and my mother-in-law, may her soul rest in peace, was a wonderful mother, but as far as a cook, she would announce, you're not going to like this. And that's the worst thing you could do. And that's the worst thing you could do to any child. So when my husband came home, when I brought him to my house to meet my mother made her own Chinese food. And he was making faces as vegetables. And my mother looked at him and said, John, we don't make faces as food. We eat it. And he ate it like a champ. But he was told growing up, you're probably not going to like this, so we'll substitute it for something else, which is usually a potato or sugar or something.
Yeah.
And it's really how you approach the child. It really is.
Absolutely.
Speaking to, and the way you're doing it, speaking to them in their language, in their dialect, and allowing them to find it themselves. And then you say, this is what it is, which is beautiful.
They get to make a choice. Yeah, they get to navigate it themselves. If I went in telling those kids that this is a healthy cooking, I made chicken tenders, mac and cheese, brownies, yogurt, and smoothies for them.
Oof.
They ate beets, sweet potatoes, avocados, spinach, carrot, and butternut squash in their food, and had oats for their coating on their chicken tenders with turmeric and nutritional yeast.
Oh.
You think if I told those kids that's what their diet was going to, that was what they were going to be cooking. First made all the food, they ate it, they loved it, and then I had them make it with me. I fed them first. They were so excited. I still have parents going, my kids crave and ask for the mac and cheese made with butternut squash and not a bunch of Velveeta Kraft macaroni and cheese stuff. And there's real cheese in it. Cheese. White cheddar with some butternut squash, but it's not a pound of cheese. And it's, you know, some quinoa macaroni that's full of protein and feeds their body and doesn't add to the gluten, intolerance. It's possible. It's so possible.
I love you got to American there.
Giving them a chance.
Beautiful.
Let them participate with you.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Let them taste what food can taste like. And then they're their own little megaphones. They went to school and went, I made this in their lunchbox of mac and cheese, and they're sharing it with their friends, and then their friends want their mom to make it. It's a different language. Give them a chance. They're more intelligent than you could possibly give them
credit for, and they really want you. They do, more so than ever before.
Yeah.
They want to eat healthy. Ask them. They do. It's amazing.
I think it's easier for the parent, and I'm not,
you know,
it's
our verbiage.
Parents
it's
that
what
are
we're
yeah,
teaching.
It's,
and yeah, they want
right.
their treat. But when you crowd that food out with actual food, I mean, my kids still tell me, oh, my God, Mom, I ate, went over to a friend's house to eat. I'm so sick. My stomach hurts so much. What can I do? It's usually the phone calls I get from my adult boys now.
You
know, it's just it's what your body is used to. And you can't get used to something different if you don't even start, right?
Yeah.
Start with one thing, you know?
One thing. It's an interesting story. I haven't had meat in years. And for St. Patrick's Day, I said, you know something?
Hello?
I got a quarter Irish in me. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have corned beef and cabbage. Yeah, I can hear you. And I haven't heard
corned beef and
cabbage. No, I'm right here. Do you hear me? Sonia Marie, do you hear me? Sonia Marie. I'm right here, sweetheart. I didn't go far.
There you are.
There you go.
Hi.
You hear me?
Okay. I can.
Now I'm gonna tell my St. Patrick's Day story. I said to myself, I'm quarter Irish. I'm going to go out and have corned beef and cabbage, which I haven't had since my mother was alive, probably 35 years ago. And I went to this restaurant, and I said, you know, corned beef and cabbage. You don't hear me? You're missing a great story, Sonia Marie. Are you still with us? Sonia Marie, you're missing my Irish story.
Hey there. I can't
you hear
me.
You.
I don't know if you can hear me.
I could hear you, but I don't know why you can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Now I can. That's a funny trick.
I want to start the story, but I'm not sure if you're going to help. Are you hearing me now? Sonia Marie, are you hearing me now? Sonia Marie, do you hear me now, darling?
We're at the one-hour mark.
You.
I'm wondering if it's...
No.
It says you're
expired. I book an hour and a half when I'm with you. For whatever reason, you're probably not hearing me. Do you hear me now, darling? Sonia Marie?
Yes.
Hello, sweetheart.
There you are.
Do you hear me?
Hi.
You hear me?
I can hear you now. I can hear you for a couple of seconds, and then you're gone.
Okay. I'm afraid to tell my story because, do you hear me now?
I hope it continues to.
I'm going to try.
To just keep you
nice,
where you are.
Nice.
You're not moving.
Nice.
I'm not moving.
I'm right here. Nice woman who's one quarter Irish, hasn't had meat in 35 years. Have you heard that yet? You still hear me? She's not. Okay. It's a good story. Haven't had meat in years. And then you know what happened? It went into my body at 8 o'clock at night, and it came out of my body 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the Reader's Digest version of it. Sonia Marie, I don't know if you heard that, but you know what? I'll call you up later and tell you the story. It's really not that big a deal. But I guess she, for whatever reason,
and we're
lost
back.
The signal. Did you hear any of that story, Sonia Marie?
I did not hear your St. Patrick's Day story. I did not.
Okay. Everybody's probably leaving now. But nice woman, one-fourth Irish, decides she's going to have corned beef after 35 years. Entered my system 8
I'm
o'clock at night.
I'm guessing it's my connection. So sorry. I hope
left
that
my. Are you? You're not hearing me. That's okay. You're a wonderful woman, Sonia Marie. Are you hearing that? No. Okay, but she knows she is. She knows she is anyway. Anyway, because her signal was broken, I want to thank Sonia Marie Romero.
Thank you.
Celebrity nutritionist. Always a fountain of information. And I'm going to text you my little story just because I poison people with it, and I'm going to make you suffer with it too. So that's what I'm going to do. And before you leave,
if you can hear me, I want to get your text and I want your story.
I'm gonna give you whether you want it or not, you're gonna get it. But before you go, give your website or anything anybody needs to hear if they want to contact you. Can you hear me? No.
Thank you
okay.
for having me.
I'm gonna contact you later, and I'm gonna get all your information. And I'm going to put it on the Facebook page tomorrow. And she's a wonderful lady. And, you know, bad connections happen. This is what Orson Welles went through with live radio. And that's what I'm going through today. Sonia Marie, thank you, darling. I love you. And thank you for joining the show. And all your information will be on our page tomorrow. And I'm going to give you a round of applause. Just for your technical difficulties. Yeah. Having technical difficulties. But Sonia Marie Romero, thank you so much for joining us. And all her information will be available tomorrow. And were you sick of my one-quarter Irish story? It was nice the first time around, I guess, but three times around, it's just got a little old. But that's okay. So all her information will be on the page tomorrow. It will either be on my page or She's Raising the Bar. Now, before we leave, if anybody heard my husband's show, Jazz Just After Dark, last week, we had a CD release party. We had all the people on the CD with us calling in, which is a really, 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 really nice thing. But we have a little thing going on where we have a toast, because all of our people like to toast with us. And our drink of choice last week was Manhattan. This clever lady that I've come to pull into my life, whether she wants to be in there or not, Portis, who is a clever little thing, and she's got this app, which anybody who's remembering the days of singing telegrams where you could send two or three people or one person to your house, and they would deliver a message in song, which was a nice thing. I don't think that could happen nowadays. But she has this app called AmuseApp.com, where everything that you could think of saying to somebody, you could put it on an app, and being we're always on our phones, this is a cool, cool thing. So in other words, if you want to say congratulations, I hate you, I want to break up with you, I like your brother, whatever you want to say, you could say it in a song. And she comes up with this. And it's so funny. She and I go back and forth. And anytime I say something, she goes, well, by the way, I have something for that. And it's just wonderful. And it's called Amuzu App. EMUSIAPP.com. Go to that website, and I'm telling you, it's just the coolest thing, because you could have an app that says anything you want, and being we're on our phones all the time, I'm just going to give a personal aside. Don't break up with somebody this way. That's just not mature. It's just not cool. You don't have to do it like that. But anything else that's lighter, I love you, let's talk, but you know, let's not break up a marriage or a relationship or a friendship that way. That's just not cool. We're better than that. That's all I'm saying. Lynn, I'm not taking any money away from you. I'm just saying that's just, I think you'd be with me on this. So that's our show, people. What do you think of that? Write me at massmogul@AOL.com or at the station Blog Talk Radio. Let me know what you thought of the show. We're going to be off for about a month, but I'm going to go into reruns, and I have some great, great shows that I have geared up for the rest of the month. And June, I'm going to be coming back for Pride Month with the lovely Alexis Hunter, author of A Body to Die For, and we're going to have a lot of stuff going on that month, so it's going to be one big celebration, but we're here every week, so don't ever worry about missing a show. And if you did miss it, we're always in archives. So just visit us there. And until then, I'm going to leave you with a wonderful quote by Mother Teresa that I love is, if we don't know peace, it's only because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. So keep that in mind. Keep your masks on. Get vaccinated. And I will see you back here next week in some shape or form. Take us home, Nina.